church tonight. I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm going to confess something. I walked in and Brother Brandon said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "I got two notebooks with me." And that's never a good sign. But I was kind of torn this afternoon a little bit about what direction to go. And I had two sermons really that I was thinking about, or two thoughts really that I was thinking about. And I was going to kind of see how the other men went and hope that that would lead me. But I got called first. So Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm so nervous I can't even find Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs. I have to go back in my head, and that's how I find books. But anyway, Proverbs chapter number 3. And I'm just going to share a thought with you. I won't be long. As I said, I thought about a lot of stuff this afternoon, and been really all week thinking about different things. But this afternoon, I really started to focus my heart on what I was going to share. And anyway, I went to this passage in Proverbs chapter 3. It's something I shared with the teenagers a while back. And I'm just going to take a couple thoughts from that and hopefully be a help and a blessing to somebody tonight. Proverbs chapter number 3. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture, verse number 5 and 6, which are probably two of the most familiar passages of Scripture in the whole Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says this: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." As I said, that's probably two of the most familiar passages in all the Bible. And the reason I think I was drawn to this passage tonight is because the pastor's kind of titled our Wednesday nights, when he allows us to speak, as Wisdom Wednesdays. And I'll be honest with you, I don't have much wisdom within myself, but I've got a book full of wisdom. And when I think of wisdom, I always think of the book of Proverbs. And this verse here is probably one of the verses that people would think of if you were to think of the book of Proverbs. And so I began to think about that and look over some old notes. And I just want to share a couple things with you out of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, that I hope will be a help to you. A little 4-point outline that maybe you could jot down or just kind of take memory of, and maybe it'll be a help to you. And first thing I see in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, in the beginning of the verses, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." When I see that right there, I think of dependence. And, you know, I think it's important that we realize how important it is that we depend upon the Lord. It says, "Trust in the Lord." That word "trust" makes me think of dependence, right? When you trust in something, you're dependent on it. If I trust that chair that I sit in is going to hold me, then I'm dependent on the fact that chair is going to hold me, right? When I think of trust, I think of dependence. I think of reliance. I think of confidence in something when I trust in it. And this verse says, "Trust in the Lord." And so I want to ask you tonight, what are you trusting in? Really, what are you trusting in? You know, we're living in times that it's important that we're trusting in the right things. I don't know about you, but it seems like every day I turn on the TV, which most days I don't, but I turn on the radio or I look on the internet and I begin to read things, my heart gets a little disturbed, if I'm honest with you. I see what's going on in the world around us. I see what's happening in Syria, North Korea, in China, in Russia, and in the United States. And I see all these things. And if I'm not careful, I'll begin to worry a little bit. That's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one, but I began to worry a little bit. And this verse is a verse that when I began to worry, I always go back to. And whether it be the things in the world or whether it be the things in my own personal life with work and ministry and all the things that I have going on, a lot of times I find myself coming back to this verse of Scripture where it says, "Trust in the Lord. Depend on the Lord." You know, I want to ask you tonight, what are you trusting in? Really, honestly, what are you trusting in? I have to ask myself that sometimes. What is it that I'm trusting in? Am I trusting in the United States government? Am I trusting in the President of the United States? Am I trusting in the banking system? Am I trusting in my job? Am I trusting in my abilities? Am I trusting in things that I have? What is it that I'm trusting in? And if I'm trusting in anything besides the Lord, I'm trusting in the wrong thing. And so in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, this verse starts off with depending. We need to learn what it is to depend upon the Lord. Now I realize, I'll tell my wife this afternoon before we come to church, I said, you know, Wednesday night crowd is a little bit different. I don't preach to Wednesday night crowd very often. I preach on a Sunday morning, every now and then on a Sunday night. I preach to our teenagers on Wednesday nights. But to preach to Wednesday night church people, for the most part, I'm talking to a group of people that understand what I'm teaching. So really all I'm doing tonight is reminding you of some things that you already know, but we need to be put in remembrance of them. I know I do. I need to be reminded of the importance of trusting in the Lord, depending upon God. When things get difficult, who am I trusting in? Who am I dependent on? If it's anybody besides the Lord, it's the wrong place. So I see number one, a depending. What is it that you're depending on? And so I see dependence at the first part of this verse. Second thing I see a depending. Number two, I see a denying. It says in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means depend upon him. Depend upon the Lord. Trust in him. Lean upon him. And then it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So I see first a depending, and second I see a denying. A denying. I have to deny my own understanding sometimes. Can I get a witness on that? How many of you have to deny your own understanding, right? You got to get away from what you think about, you know. You have to depend upon the Lord and not trust in your own understanding, not lean on your own understanding. Deny your understanding. You say, why would I deny my understanding, Brother David? Because basically that's saying don't trust yourself, right? Trust in the Lord and don't trust yourself. Why would I not trust myself? I'll give you a couple reasons you shouldn't trust yourself. Number one, because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10, that your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. My heart, your heart, our heart is deceitful above all things. You know, a lot of people are trusting their heart. Young people, hear me tonight. And I know y'all heard this a couple months back, but hear it again. You can't hear it enough. Don't follow your heart. I don't care what Hollywood says. I don't care what teachers say. I don't care what the television says. Don't follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Don't follow your heart. Follow God. So many people said, I follow in my heart. You know, parents, please don't tell your children. God help me not to ever tell my children, hey, just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Your heart will get you in trouble. Your heart will get you in trouble. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to deny the things of your heart, right? Because your heart's deceitful. Not only is your heart deceitful, but your mind is darkened. And I'm not going to have you turn to these passages of Scripture because of time. I will have you turn to one. Hold your place here and turn to Proverbs 28, just in case you think, well, Brother David, I can trust my heart. You know, I've got a good heart. If I know my heart, I've said that before. If I know my heart, guess what? I don't know my heart. The Bible says, who can know it? And I say that. I'm guilty of it, you know. Well, if I know my heart, there's an answer to that. I don't have to say if I know my heart. I don't know my heart. God does, but I don't. My heart's deceitful. Proverbs chapter 28. Let's look at verse number 26. Proverbs 28 verse 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Don't follow your heart. The Bible says, trust in the Lord. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Deny your understanding. Don't follow your heart, okay? The heart is, you can go back, the heart is deceitful. Number two, your mind is darkened. Ephesians chapter number 4, I'm not going to turn there, but Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19 talks about that our minds are darkened. They're darkened. We can't trust our minds. We can't trust our hearts. We can't trust in ourselves. We've got to deny ourselves. We've got to deny our understanding. We have to deny our feelings, and we've got to trust in the Lord. We need to be depending upon him. So I see a depending. I see a denying. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 talks about, now I see through a glass darkly, and one day I'm going to be able to see, but right now I can't see straight. So I can't trust even what I see. I can't trust what I think. I can't trust what I see. I can't trust what I feel. I've got to trust God. So many people are leaning on what they see. They're leaning on what they think. They're leaning on what they feel. But the Bible says, hey, don't lean on what you think. Don't lean on what you see. Don't lean on what you feel. Lean on God. Depend on God. I have to remind myself of this a lot. Maybe I'm the only person here, but I'm telling you, when I start reading some of the news and the things that's going on in the world, if I'm not careful, I'll look at the things that I see and I'll get fearful. I'll think about the things that I see and I'll get fearful. My heart will begin to really, you know, feel some emotions about the things that I'm seeing or that I'm hearing, and I'll get a little fearful, and I'm reminded that I have to go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, and see where the Bible says, I can't trust in what I think. I can't lean on my understanding. I've got to depend on God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So I see a depending, number one. I see a denying, number two. Denying ourselves. Don't trust yourself. Young people, hear me tonight. Don't trust yourself. You'll live to regret it. Don't think you know better than God knows. Don't think you know better than mom knows. Don't think you know better than dad knows. Don't think you know better than the preacher knows. Hey, you don't know. I don't know. God knows. We need to lean on God, depending, denying. Number three, there needs to be a discerning, or I put a discovering. It says, in all thy ways. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's depending. And lean not unto thine own understanding. That's denying. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. That's discerning. Or that's discovering. That word acknowledge, if you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, you will see those two words. Discern and discover. The Bible says to, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. In all thy ways, get discernment from him. In all thy ways, discover some things from him. You want to know what to do in 2017? You want to know what to do? Go to God. Find out what God wants you to do. Discern God. Discover God. You say, how do I do that? I believe you do that through prayer, right? You do that through talking to him, spending time with him, praying and getting alone with God. Not only do you do it through prayer, but you do it through his precepts. You get into his word and you tell God, God, show me some things from your word. Help me, God, to get some light for my path. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need God's precepts to guide us in this life. See, we need to, in all our ways, we need to acknowledge him. We need to discover what he wants for us. Through prayer, through preaching, through the precepts. I said through precepts, through preaching, through people, right? We need to get around the right people, people that walk with God, our pastor, right? Our teachers, our godly family members, and say, hey, I want to know what God wants me to do, right? In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Number one, you should go to him, right? So go to God. Discover what God wants you to do. So I see a depending. I see a denying, I see a discerning or a discovering, and then last, I see a directing. I believe with all of my heart, if we'll depend on God, if we'll really just depend on God, put our trust in God, not anything else, not our abilities, not our talents, not the things that we have, if we'll truly depend on God and trust in him, if we'll deny ourselves and our thoughts and what we feel and what we want, if we'll depend, if we'll deny, if we'll discern, if we'll pray and get in his precepts and spend time with him and find out what he wants, God will direct our paths. It's a promise from his word. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Depend on him. Depending. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Denying. Then I see, in all thy ways acknowledge him. That's discerning, discovering. And he shall direct thy path. That's direction. That's directing. You want God to direct your life? You want God to direct your path? You want God to lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Then I believe if we'll do these things, he will, from his word. He said if we'll trust in him, if we'll lean not on our own understanding, if all our ways we acknowledge him, we'll go to him in prayer, we'll go to his word for wisdom, we'll get in his precepts, and we'll ask God for some help for our lives, then God promises he will direct us. I don't know about you, but I need some direction from God. I do. I need direction from God. I want God to tell me what to do with my life. I want God to tell me how to raise my children. I want God to tell me how to treat my wife. I want God to tell me how to minister to these young people. I want God to direct my business, everything about my life. I want God directing it. And if I'm going to get God directing my life, then I need to be depending. I need to be denying. I need to be discovering. And then God will be directing. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
I want to invite you to go back with me to the Garden of Gethsemane. Pastor preached a wonderful message there Sunday night, and I just couldn't get away from it. I started studying. It was just so rich. I felt originally that God would have me to get into this and speak on it tonight, and then I just thought there's no way I can really touch anything in 10 minutes out of this subject out of the Garden of Gethsemane. It's just so deep and so rich. I'd encourage you, if you've never done a study on a garden, do it. That's one subject that is in all four Gospels. There's very few things that you'll find spoken of in all four of the Gospels, and this is one of them, the Garden of Gethsemane. You'll find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I believe God did that for a purpose, to show us that there's so much to it. There's no way we can scratch the surface. But God gave me a thought. The thought is, don't miss it. There's three points I want to speak on tonight of people that missed it. And we get this from the garden. Luke chapter number 22. The first... see what time it is here. The first point here of the people that missed it was Peter, James, and John. Jesus took them. He told the other disciples, and I don't know why, but he told the other disciples to wait here, and we'll go yonder and pray. And then he took Peter, James, and John a little further with them. And then he also told them to watch and pray with him. To watch and pray. And then he was going to go a little further. And we see here in this passage of Scripture, if you look down in verse number 40 of Luke chapter 22. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. So he went a little further, but not too far. They could see him. He was about a stone's cast away, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So number one, Peter and James and John missed the strengthening. Now Jesus, and why did they miss it? It says the angel was strengthening him. Why did they miss it? Well, they were sleeping. They were sleeping. Now if you look with me, in verse number 45, when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Mark tells us that their eyes were heavy when he came to them the third time. Their eyes were heavy. They were sleeping. But here in Luke, it enlightens us that they were sleeping for sorrow. Now, I don't know if you've ever been through something so sorrowful that it just wears at you. It wears you down to where you lose all your strength. And we see here that the wording of the scripture here is he found them sleeping for sorrow. So I see here where Peter and James and John were heavy hearted. They had a little bit of insight of what was about to take place. And they were sorrowful. But they didn't get strengthened. Now Jesus also was sorrowful. He prayed and he didn't miss the strengthening. I'm reminded in this point of another time where Jesus was strengthened by the angels, and that was about when he was fasting, the temptation in the wilderness, when he fasted 40 days, 40 nights, and the devil came and tempted him, and he refused the devil. He resisted the devil three times. Finally, the devil left, and we see where the angels came and ministered unto him. It's interesting, in that passage of Scripture, many people think, well, when the devil told him to turn the bread, the stones into bread, and to eat it, that would have been sinning because he was fasting. But if you read, to me, the Scripture's clear that his fasting had ended. It said when his 40 days were finished, when his fasting was ended, I believe Jesus could have ate. But he knew that the angels were going to come and minister to him. He had a better meal waiting for him, prepared for him, that he wasn't going to take what the devil was going to offer him that and miss it. So he got strengthened then. He got strengthened here. But Peter and James and John were sleeping. They missed it. And there are times when God wants to strengthen us, but we miss it. We miss it, whether we're here in church and the preaching is going on and God wants to speak to us and strengthen us, but something's distracting us. Something's got us, whatever, the cares of this world. There's things that we cause us to miss what God has for us. And God wants to strengthen us. And I believe he wanted to strengthen Peter, James, and John. Jesus took them farther for a reason. He took them with him and asked them to pray with him for a reason. And Jesus wanted to strengthen them, but they missed it. Number two, Peter, James, and John missed the wake-up call. It's interesting to me, if you hold your place in Luke 22, we're going to turn back to Mark chapter 14. We see here kind of a contradiction, or it appears to be a contradiction, that Jesus was speaking. And I think of sometimes like leaders, and I've done it myself. I've just been unprepared, unplanned, where I'll say, we're going to do one thing and get there. It's like, well, we can't do that. Let's go this way. And it's hard to follow someone that says, let's do something in like a minute. It's like, well, let's change your mind. Let's go over here. Let's do this. It's just don't have things in order. And it appears by looking at this, you kind of wonder in verse 41. Well, let's back up here. Getting ahead of myself. Look at verse 34 of Mark chapter 14. And saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrow unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He's asking them to pray. And then in verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And then in verse 41, and he cometh to the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And I look at that, the last two verses of scripture, verse 41 and verse 42. In 41, he says, sleep on now. And in verse 42, one verse later, he's saying, get up. And I, you know, at first you kind of read it and think, well, what in the world's going on? Do you want them to sleep or do you want them to wake up? I believe this is talking about two different things. When he's telling them, sleep on now, I don't think he's talking physically. I think he's talking spiritually, because we see here, all the way through, as we read, he was telling them to pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He was trying to get them spiritually ready for what was to come, and they kept sleeping, physically falling asleep. And we see for sorrow, for their eyes were heavy, as we see in verse 40 here, found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. But they were sleeping. And he was asking, he was trying to prepare them, trying to get them ready, and found them asleep. So he said, sleep on. I believe when he said, sleep on now and take your rest, it is enough. I believe where he's saying it is enough. When you say enough, I think you're saying like too late. Time, the hour's come. It's too late now. It's too late. Go ahead and sleep. You're asleep. When he spoke to him and said, rise up, let us go, he's speaking physically. Get up. Time's up. No more time to pray. No more time to get ready. You missed it. I was trying to wake you up. I was trying to prepare you for what was to come. But it's too late. They missed the wake-up call. And there are times when God's trying to tell us, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. You better pray. Parents, you better pray. When it's time, there's going to be a point where it's never too late to pray, but pray while you can. Pray for your children. Pray for your family. Dads, moms, pray. It's going to get to the point where it could be too late. Wake up. Wake up. Pray for our country. Could be a point where it's going to be too late. We think, well, we could have prayed. Peter, James, and John, when they were going to face, and the other disciples, when they were going to face, they had no idea what they're going to face. They all forsook him and fled. Peter, that denied him three times, he told God he'd never do that, but yet he found himself doing that. Didn't prepare. didn't wake up. He didn't wake up. So they missed a wake-up call. And the last one, and turn back with me to Luke chapter 22. This is just the most astonishing to me. So Peter, James, and John, they missed the strengthening. They missed a wake-up call. But this one is Judas. Verse 44, the Bible says, after the angel appeared unto strengthen him, verse 44 says, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. And he rose up from prayer and came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto Judas, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Judas missed salvation. When I think of it, so many people miss salvation. Hopefully there's not one person in this room tonight that's going to miss salvation. But when I think of how close Judas was, and that was kind of my title when I said don't miss it, but close, so close, but they missed it. Judas was so close. As we read here that Jesus, as he was in agony, prayed and the blood was streaming down his brow. As Pastor talked about it Sunday night, the blood was coming down his face in the sweat. And then Judas comes and kisses him. And you kind of wonder, that very blood that could have saved his soul touched his lips, might even tasted it, and died and went to hell. Because he never applied it to his heart. Think how close that is. But there could be someone in this room tonight. Come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You hear the word of God preach. You grow up in a Christian home. Whatever it may be, you're that close. Not as close as Judas was, but you're that close. You had every opportunity that Judas had. You had every opportunity, more so than other people. And Judas died and went to hell, tasting the very blood that could have washed his sins away. But he missed it. I think, how incredible, how sad, really. In hell right now, in those flames of hell, I wonder if he still tastes it. Thinking, I was that close. You ever been so close to something and missed it? But that, something so great as salvation, something so needful as salvation, something so wonderful as having your sins forgiven and missing it. Peter, James, and John, they missed quite a bit. But Judas, wow, missed it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You're here tonight. God's given you an opportunity, whether it's to wake up, whether it's to get strengthened. Maybe it's for salvation. Don't miss it.
2 Samuel chapter number 7. I was hoping and praying that there would be an invitation. That was excellent. Both messages were very good. And I was trying my best to focus what they were saying while I was thinking about what I was going to be saying. And I appreciate the opportunity to share God's word and be in God's house tonight. 2 Samuel chapter number 7. I want to read a portion of scripture that's pretty familiar in the Old Testament. David had a desire to honor God, and David wanted to build a temple, a place where God would be honored and where God would be worshiped. And that's our setting here in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in an house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? We'll stop right there. I wonder tonight how many of us have been or maybe are in David's shoes. You say, what do you mean, Brother Brandon? You wanted to do something for God. Your heart was right with God. We know that David was, the Bible calls, he was a man after God's own heart. And here, David has a good desire. David has a godly desire. We learn in 1 Kings chapter number 8, there's a verse that talks about that this was a good desire that David had. He wanted to honor God. He was trying to bring about a national recognition and restore national worship back to the people of God. And chapter number 6, he's brought the ark back into the city of Jerusalem. And now he's sitting at home. God's given him rest round about his enemies. He looks at the prophet Nathan. He says, Nathan, I got a pretty nice place. I'm living in a house that's made of wood, of cedar. He said, I got to thinking about it. God's ark and the presence of God is in a place of curtains. He said, I want to build a place for God. I want to honor God. Nathan said, yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea, David. Go do all that's in thine heart. So they make the plans, and no doubt David's excited about it. I'm going to get to honor God. God's done so much for me. I'm going to give something back to him. And then God wakes up Nathan, the preacher, in the middle of the night and says, Nathan, you need to go tell David that that's not such a good idea. Now, I want you to just put yourself in David's shoes for just a minute. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't, I believe you will at some point in your Christian life. You're going to get to a point to where you're going to want to do something that's right. You're going to want to honor God. There's going to be a decision that you want to make. There's going to be a direction that you want to go in. And for whatever reason, God's going to say no. Maybe it's no indefinitely. Maybe it's no, not right now. Maybe it'll happen later. But all you know is that God has seemingly shut the door and it's out of your hands. Could be maybe a ministry opportunity. Maybe, aren't we just like that sometimes? We look at other people, we look at other situations and we think, well, man, I'd like to do that. It's not sinful. It seems like it'd be a great opportunity. Maybe we look at other people's lives and other people's schedules and we say, man, I sure wish I got to do this like so-and-so, or I sure wish I got to live like they live, or I sure wish I had the money that they have, or I sure wish I had the family that they have. And if we're not careful, all of our life, we spend our life thinking about, well, what we could be doing, right? It's not wrong. It's not sinful. David wanted to build a house for God, and God got the word back to David and said, David, that's not my will for your life right now. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you have, that can be very disappointing. You could say, God, I don't understand. God, I want to build this house. I want to do this. I want to do this to honor you. God, if you give me that job, I'll have more money to give to you. God, if you do this, I'll have more time to give to you. And for whatever reason, God says, no, not right now. Now, the astonishing thing to me is David and Nathan's response. As I was reading through this in my devotional reading, I'm just amazed at how they took it. Both Nathan the prophet and David the king. When they got the word of the Lord, verse number 4, the word of the Lord came unto Nathan saying, Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build an house for me to dwell in? And God goes on and on to say, David, I don't need a house. I'm paraphrasing, but God says, David, I've been with you through the wilderness. I'm fine with a tabernacle. I've never commanded you to build me a temple. Actually, David, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build you a house. I'm going to do something for you, David. And once David accepts the word of God, David worships God. I mean, while all of his plans get put on hold, David recognizes what God's doing. And you read chapter number 7, he worships God. I don't know about you, but it convicts me. Because when things happen in my life, not the way that I planned or not the way that I thought they would be, sometimes I get disappointed and I pout. I know you never do that. I do. I think some of you do too. You pout. Well, God, I wanted to do this for you. I'm just trying to honor you with my life. David worshiped God. He came to church the next Sunday and worshiped God. He didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. He just kept going. He just kept doing what God wanted him to do. And the truth that I think that we should get from the first five verses of this chapter is just simply God's servants are limited. We need wisdom that we don't possess. And sometimes I think if we're not careful, we think, you know, I've been saved for 20 years. I've been saved for 40 years. I'm an old man. I'm an old lady now. I've been doing this a long time. I got it figured out. And the truth of the matter is, we don't. There'll never be a day when we can say, I've got it figured out. I don't need God anymore. Because he had the preacher's permission, didn't he? Nathan said, verse number 3, go do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. The prophet missed it. He missed it. David, a man after God's own heart. He didn't know what God's will was. But both of them, just without hesitation, Nathan went back and preached this message to David, and the message was against his own opinion. Can you imagine how hard that would have been? Nathan told David, David, go build the temple. I think that'd be a great idea. Then has to come back the next day and say, God says it wasn't a great idea. I was wrong. That'd take a lot of swallowing your pride, wouldn't it? These two men did something very hard. They submitted themselves to God's will. That's not always easy. It's easy to talk about, but it's not always easy to do. And they did it. And the fact of the matter is we don't always know what's right. Matter of fact, without God, we never know what's right. The heart's deceitful, above all. Desperately wicked, who can know it? God says in Isaiah 55 that my thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts, his ways are higher than ours. How can we know the mind of the Lord? His ways are not. The Bible says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. You know what we think about when we hear that verse? We think about that person that's ruining their life. You know who that verse was for? Us. That verse was for church people. Hey, there's a way that you think that's right, and if you don't consult God about it, and you just keep living your life and making decisions and not asking for wisdom and doing what makes sense and doing the reasonable thing, hey, you're going to go off the cliff one day. Doesn't matter how much sense it makes. Doesn't matter who's giving you permission. If it's against the Word of God, you're going to go off the cliff. And you might have green lights the whole way. So we have to align everything we do with the Word of God. We fall short. This is kind of the theme in the book of 1st, 2nd Samuel. You remember Eli in the temple? He's there and Hannah is there praying. All Eli sees is a woman down there sobbing, crying. What's he say? He missed it, didn't he? She's drunk. Down here sobbing. Can't even understand what she's saying. Get her out of here. She's drunk. You realize what God was trying to bring David into the world, the lineage of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's a priest saying, get her out of here. He missed it. Priest. And then the boy that's born, Samuel. Samuel's a good man, a judge, a prophet of God. And Israel had messed up. They said, we want a king like the other nations. And they chose Saul. Big mistake, right? Big mistake. So when it was time to anoint another king, Saul went out there to see the sons of Jesse. And he seen Jesse's oldest son, Eliab. And Saul said, there he is right there. Oldest boy. He looks like a king. He was going to miss it. He had no idea. God said, that's not the one that I chose, Samuel. There's another one out there in the field. Shepherd boy, Dave, that's the one I want. The theme of these books is we can't do this by ourselves. I can't lead a family by myself. I can't head up a ministry by myself. I can't live with that. If I do it on my own, I'm going to fall off the cliff. I got to tell you tonight, church, you try to do this thing on your own, you'll do the same thing. We'll miss it. We'll miss it. The good news, I want you to turn to the New Testament for some application and we'll be done. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Aren't you glad that, man, God provides help for His feeble servants? If nothing else, that's the intent tonight, is I hope that you'll recognize and that I'll recognize just how much we need God. I think we know that we do, but it's so easy to live life and go through the motions without seemingly nothing serious happening, right? We think, well, you know, I've done it without God for days, weeks, maybe months or years for some. And how many decisions are made just without even consulting or praying? Sometimes we say, haven't we all made this statement? Well, there's some things we don't need to pray about. I'm not so sure after this message. Philippians 4, our pastor quotes it often. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. You might not have prayed about everything. David might have said, hey, we don't have to pray about this. We're talking about building God a temple here. This is a good thing. It's a godly thing. And he would have missed it. Would have missed it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 16 says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Isn't that what David was trying to do? He's trying to instruct, tell God what was best. And God had to turn that around. Then the Bible says, but we have the mind of Christ. I don't understand everything about that, I'll be honest, but here's what I know. I've got a Bible. I've got a Bible, and I've got the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And that's all I need. Amen. That's all I need. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask it of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. James 1:5. I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know where you are. But maybe you've been in David's shoes. And sometimes we try to make life too complicated, I'll be honest with you. I think that's what David was trying to do. He was trying to add something that God never told him to do. God never said, build me a temple. And sometimes we make our life difficult because we try to add things. Well, I got to do this. If only I could do this. And God just said, just get the basics down. Just walk with me. Realize it's not necessarily about you doing something for me. It's God talking. But God saying, I want to do something with you. Realize that. Walk with me. Tell people about me, witness. It's really simple, folks. We get in trouble when we try to start adding things, putting pressure on ourselves. Well, I got to do this. It's really simple. We need God. Let's ask for his wisdom. Father, take your word and take all the words that have been spoken tonight. God, we ask.